We're dropped down in the middle of a story and we have no idea what happened beforehand. We're not really sure what happens afterwards. And that's exactly the case we have when we read this story from Acts. We don't even know who they're talking about. And yet if we had read the whole thing, you would all be snoozing by now because it's a very long story. It goes back to the early church. And one of the responsibilities the early church felt very strongly was one of those Old Testament mandates. You're supposed to take care of the widows, the orphans, and the strangers in your gates. Well, the people of the early church felt like the widows were not getting properly fed and not getting enough attention. So they went to the leaders of the church and they said, well, we've got to take better care of our widows. And they decided to create a group of seven people that they called, believe it or not, deacons. And those of you who are deacons today or have been deacons, you're doing exactly what they were told to do back then. Serve the people. Care for the people. So that the disciples could spread the word, could teach the word. One of these seven people was named Stephen. And that's who the reading was about today. Stephen. Stephen, one of the deacons, was filled with the Holy Spirit, did amazing things, spoke eloquently. Unfortunately, there were those people who did not particularly agree with Stephen. And when they could not win any arguments against Stephen, they decided to create a little unrest, stirred up the crowd against Stephen, and actually recruited some people to go to the authorities and say he was guilty of blaspheming God, the law, and Moses. And so upon these false charges, they arrested him, brought him in for questioning. And Stephen had the unfortunate situation of appearing as an angel to them. I guess they didn't like this angelic appearance. But he told them the story of how God had been active in the people's lives from the time of Moses leading the people out of Egypt, out of slavery. How God had been active in their lives and how they had turned against God and worshiped their own idols or their own gods. Stephen, not being one to mince words, accused those leaders of being just like those stiff-necked Israelites who disregarded God and disregarded the laws and went their own way. Well, they weren't too happy to hear this. Nobody likes to be criticized, right? So anyway, they were not too happy to hear this, but he was still going to be okay. But that's where today's reading kicks in, and he looks up to heaven and says that he sees Jesus on the right hand of God. Oh, that lit the fuse. Because when he said he saw Jesus on the right hand of God, what he was basically saying was that Jesus was the Messiah. He was the Messiah. And he has the same power as God. He's there with God. That was the ultimate insult, blasphemy, whatever they wanted to call it. They didn't even take the time to call it anything. They were so riled up, the mob mentality took over, and they stoned him. And yet, Stephen is so secure in his Lord Jesus that even as they are stoning him to death, he says, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And he died. echoes the words of Jesus on the cross. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. But Jesus was that rock, that foundation for Stephen. And the amazing thing in this story is they thought they killed him and that was the worst thing that could happen. But really, the people who were dead were the people who had stoned him, who covered their ears rather than listening to the word of God, because the word of God was something they didn't want to hear. It represented something different. It represented looking at their world differently. It represented taking this man who had been crucified on a cross and raising him to an elevated position. And so I've studied this text this week, and all I can think about are stones. Maybe it's because there were so many stones in my yard. And there's all these weeds and grass growing up around them I got to get rid of. Or maybe it's because I always love to drive around here and see those stone fences that as farmers were clearing the fields in order to plant crops, they had to take all of those stones out of their way and build walls. Or maybe it's because I remember the slave fences in Kentucky where I grew up. Those walls that were actually built by great masons from Ireland and Scotland. Stones. They can be wonderful, wonderful assets. They can also kill. And so I've been thinking about these people who, rather than listening to the word of God interpreted in a new way, closed up their ears and stoned the man who would dare them to think differently. And I think about our church, all of those people, and how within our church even, we throw stones. My mother used to say, oh, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt you. How wrong she was. Words that belittle what somebody has accomplished, that they're so proud of, and somebody minimizes it with the flick of a simple little word. Oh, you could have done it better. You could have done it differently. Or the little sarcastic comments that we think, oh, they're humorous, but they hurt. The way we laugh at somebody's foibles, and they might even laugh with us, but inside they're crying because it hurts. Words hurt. Our attitudes hurt. When we're not going to be, or we're not willing to be open to the new possibilities. Oh no, that'll never work. Shoot down that idea. Oh no, you've got it all wrong. It couldn't possibly happen. In our denomination, in all denominations, there's arguing constantly about which is the correct orthodox interpretation of Scripture. This is the right way. This is what it really means. And I want to say, how do you know? Are you God? Our interpretations of Scripture through the centuries have changed. Otherwise, we would still have slavery, wouldn't we? Pastor Chris and I would not be ordained ministers because people before us have constantly been open to the Holy Spirit, bringing the word alive to us in new ways. Our understanding of it has changed. Why did God give us brains if we're not supposed to be open to new understanding, to new interpretations, even to new translations? As I've pointed out time and time again, this one little word that we read this way can mean so many different things. Hebrew is this beautiful language full of all kinds of connotations for the words. There's not one appropriate word that matches the English word. And any of you who speak other languages know the same thing is true of all languages. And so we take scripture and we like to have our hands on it and say, well, this is what it means. We have to be open to the possibilities. Is it rigid, black and white on the page, in our minds? But what about with God? Does God want us to open our hearts to new possibilities? Churches are leaving our denomination because of the advocacy for the gay, lesbian, transgender, bisexual community. People don't believe they should be ordained. Well, we've gotten through that hurdle, haven't we? And now we ordain them. The next argument is whether pastors have the right to perform a marriage of same-gender couples. Scripture so rigid we can't open our hearts and our minds to new possibilities? I don't think I'm ever right. All I know is I can open my heart to God. All I know is that I can look to the foundation of the church, Jesus Christ, and look at the way he lived and what he taught. And I never remember seeing him condemn anyone for their actions. A woman caught in adultery is brought before him. She is kneeling there. They're ready to stone her to death. That's the appropriate punishment. And he says, "Let he who is without sin throw the first stone." And her accusers melt away. And Jesus does not accuse her either. Jesus. The foundation of our church is what holds us together. When we read 1 Peter, it's telling us, "I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. The stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner." Jesus himself was rejected, and look what happened. He became the cornerstone of the church. So what do we rest secure on in our faith? We rest secure on the cornerstone, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And as long as we rest securely on that cornerstone, that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, we can disagree. We're not ever all going to agree. But we have to find what is our common identity and rest secure in that. And allow for the fact that Scripture can be understood differently from generation to generation. And it's not heresy to think that. But that it's being open to God and the power of the Holy Spirit to see what God is saying in the midst of us, in the here and the now, while we continue to proclaim Jesus is Lord. And nothing will shake that. And we will always continue to be the church, no matter how differently we might view things. Jesus is Lord. Amen.